We're going to learn now the Sikha Dvar Malchus Va'era. This is quite a difficult Sikha, and also a very important Sikha. Because of its difficulty, a bit, we will go through till Oizvav, probably. So now, in the beginning of the Sikha, the Rebbe focuses on the Pasuk in the beginning of the Parsha, where Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that he revealed himself to the Ovis with the name Kel Shakai, and not with the name Havaya. So the Rebbe explains going into Ois Beis, and there focusing on Ha'ora 7 in Ois Beis, the Rebbe explains that even though the revelation to the Ovis was far less than that to the Bonim, that to the Ovis Hashem only revealed himself in the name Kel Shakai, nevertheless, the fact that Hashem later on revealed himself to the Bonim, to the Eden, in the name with the name Shem Havaya, was a result of that what Hashem did to the Ovis. In other words, even though on the surface it seems that in the Ovis Hashem appeared on a far lower level than his appearance later on to the Bonim, to the children, to the Yidden, nevertheless, as the Rebbe explains in footnote 7, being that Hashem's revelation to the Ovis in the name Kel Shakai was a preparation which ultimately led to the revelation of Shem Havaya to the Bonim, so we must say that the revelation to the Ovis contains in itself something that is far beyond the revelation that was later on revealed to the Bonim. This is what the Rebbe says over here. Now, before going into the continuation of the Sikha, we're just going to focus on this point slightly. This idea, this concept, that the cause must be far stronger than the effect, is actually rooted, the source is coming from the Hemtzich V'Kocha of the Rebbe Marash. The Rebbe Marash is talking about the Gilui of La'asid Lavi, and the Rebbe Marash explains that La'asid Lavi, the Tainug of the Eibishter, is going to become the Tainig of the Nivra. The Tainig of Boyd is going to become Tainig and Nivra. That is the ultimate reward which we're going to receive, Lassid Lavi. Nevertheless, the Rebbe Marash explains, there's a certain virtue in Olam Hazeh, in Zman HaGolus, over the Gilui of Lassid Lavi. And what is that? What is that virtue? So he explains the very fact that the void in Zman HaGolus and Leilam Hazeh is a cause that is going to bring about the Gilui of La'asid Lavi. So we must say there's something there in the cause that is greater than the effect, in the fact that it manages to bring out the effect. This is what the Rebbe Marash explains over there. So let us understand a bit these words of the Rebbe Marash, and let's take an example. In Tanya Perek Zayin, we all know what it says over there, that there is a certain virtue in a Baal Tshuva over a Tzaddik. And what is the virtue? In the fact that he had done an Averis, and now he had turns away from the Averis. So and therefore he has in himself a drive which is not there by the Tariq. And what is this drive coming from? From the fact that he had once been distant from Hashem, so that is catapulting him forward beyond that, the Madrega of a Tariq, in you now connecting to Hashem. So the Averis of the Tariq bring, the Averis of the Baal Tshuva bring him to a level which is that which is beyond that of a Tariq. This is what he explains in Tanya Perek Zayin. So what do we see here very clearly? Yes, the Vedas ultimately bring the Baal Tshuva to this level, which is superior than that of a Tzaddik. But nevertheless, we all understand very clearly that the Vedas themselves are nothing to admire at all. No, not at all. They have, but nevertheless, they have in themselves some aspect which doesn't exist in regular mitzvahs, in the fact that it will later on bring about tshuva to that, to a madriga that is above the tzaddik. Okay. So, under this understanding, we must say that there's something there in the Averis. The cause has something greater than the effect, the actual mitzvahs, which about tshuva is going to be doing, which that's why his mitzvahs are going to be greater than that of the tzaddik. Nevertheless, when we are looking at the Averis, just considering the Averis alone, would we venture to say that these Averis have in themselves a capacity that is beyond the mitzvahs of the tzaddik? Of course not. So similarly now, when the Rebbe Rashi is telling us there's something there in Golus which is beyond the inyan of Gula, in the very fact that it brings the Gula, is something very true. Logic definitely dictates there must be something there in the very fact it manages to have such an effect. But to say we can identify with this virtue which is buried there in the cause, that is something different. No, we don't. We cannot identify with this virtue, this cause that is in the cause, which is ultimately going to bring the effect which is so much beyond anything that we could imagine, beyond that of the tzaddik. The most we can say is, yes, ultimately we will see the result of the effect of the cause, of course, but to say that we can see the virtue of the cause in its state and its current state as being a cause over that of the tzaddik, that is something we cannot say. And therefore, the same would apply also to Golos and Gula. To say that in the Zamana Golos we can see the virtue that there is in Golos over Gula is something that Lechera we cannot say. The same will apply to that, what is going to be discussed in this Sikha. The Sikha is going to explain how the Obis brought about the preparation that led to Matan Torah. They were the cause to Matan Torah. And therefore, following this thinking, which is there, based on what it says in the Hemshech V'Koch of the Rebbe Marash, that the cause must be greater than the effect, okay, we must say there's something there in the void of the Ovis that is beyond that of the Bonim, the Yidden after Matan Torah. But the way we normally understand it, yes, after Matan Torah, we may realize this koich which the others contained in themselves. But the same when we go and look at the others, that we can see that koich, well, seemingly not. And this is the way how it is actually explained everywhere. In this sikha that I was going to explain to us, how we can come to realize the koich of the virtue of the others over the bonim in the avoida of the others themselves. This is the focus of this sikha, as we'll soon explain. Now, before going into Beis Gimel, let us just understand the inyan of Matan Torah, how it's explained everywhere. You see this, how the Rebbe always explains it. And that is that Matan Torah accomplished the bridging of the gap between Elyonim and Tachtonim. The way it was before Matan Torah, above and below, two separate entities. The Ruchnis and the Gashmis were two separate entities completely. And therefore it's explained that even though the Ovis had done mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs before Matan Torah, nevertheless, their mitzvahs were in the Ruchnistic realm. The Chiddush of Matan Torah was they gave Yidden the ability that they should be able to affect with their mitzvahs the Mitzvahs HaGashmi. That is the unique chiddush of Matan Torah, the chibur of the Elyonim and Tachtonim. Now, in regards to the mitzvah of Milah, which was actually performed in an Eivor Gashmi, in a Gashmistika Eivor of Avraham Avinu, so the Rebbe explains in many sikhs that, of course, the mitzvah of Milah belongs to the category, to the realm of before Matan Torah. It was before Matan Torah. However, it has a certain similarity to the mitzvahs of after Matan Torah in the fact that the mitzvah mila was performed in a gashmistike eiva, with a gashmistike limb, upon the commandment of the Eibishter. So therefore, the Rebbe explains that the mitzvah of mila is a connection, so to say, between the avodah of the Ovis and the avodah after Matan Torah. In other words, the mitzvah of mila definitely was not in the realm of the mitzvahs that are after the Matan Torah. It was before Matan Torah. And it's actually indicated, that the Rebbe brings this from the Rambam, that the mitzvah of mila, which have run performed, belong to the category of before Matan Torah. Nevertheless, it has certain similarities to the mitzvahs of after Matan Torah, and that is, as the Rebbe explains, in order to connect the Avodah of the Ovis with the Avodah of the Yidden after Matan Torah. This is the way the Rebbe explains it everywhere. In this sikha, the Rebbe is going to explain that the Avos were actually above Matan Torah. That, to the extent they didn't even need Matan Torah from their part. Now, why did the Rebbe take this approach, which is so different than everything that we always understood, and we were always explained that the Avos are only a preparation to Matan Torah? So the explanation of this lies in this, what we said before, that there has to be something in the cause which is stronger than the effect, in the very fact that it manages to bring about the effect. So therefore, the same thing is in regards to Matan Torah. The reality is, as we know it, there's a difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim. And the Torah is a koyach which is going to bring the Elyonim and Tachtonim together. But the very fact that the Torah has the ability to bring the koyach, the Elyonim and Tachtonim together, we must say that the Torah has in its roots something which is beyond the difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim, and that is why the Torah has the ability to bring together the Elyonim and Tachtonim. Now, what is this that the Torah has in itself that is beyond the difference of Elyonim and Tachtonim? That is the koyach of the Ovis, the whom we see to be some preparation to Matan Torah, and it didn't have the quality of Matan Torah at all. It's just a cause that it's going to bring about, it's going to lead to Matan Torah. And this is the koyach which every Yid also possesses in themselves. The machshavton shal Yisrael, which we possess, which we inherit from the others, that is above the Torah. And it is this koyach that lays behind the Torah, from which there is no difference between the Elyonim and Tachtonim, that gives the Torah the ability to bridge the gap between the Elyonim and Tachtonim. So, based on this understanding, that in this sikha, we're discussing the unknown ability that lays behind the Torah, the koyach of the Ovis, which gives ability to the Torah to be mechaber, the Elyonim and Tachtonim, the unknown koyach of the cause, which will later on bring about the revelation of the effect, the realization of the fact. So therefore, when we're talking about the Ovis, yeah, of course, the way we see the Ovis, they're just something which is ultimately going to lead up to Matan Torah. That was their contribution to this whole thing. However, from the Ovis's perspective, in the very fact that they would be able to bring about that later on there should be the revelation of Matan Torah, shows that they contained in themselves something that is beyond the difference that Matan Torah came to address, the interference that Matan Torah came to overcome. They contained something in themselves that was beyond that. So therefore, from the others, the perspective of the others, they didn't need Matan Torah. They didn't see the difference between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim from to begin with. And therefore, under this understanding, when we learn in the Torah, in the part in this week's Parsha, how the Ebeshah revealed himself to the others with the Kael Shakai, and Shmi Hashem Lo Yinadaiti, that Hashem did not reveal to himself to them with the name of Havaya Shem Havaya, the understanding of this, based on what we just now said, what did this mean? It means that what Rashi says, that Hashem was not recognized with the Shem Havaya. Of course, the others had the Shem Havaya by them. They didn't see the difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim from to begin with, and therefore that was revealed later on by Matan Torah. For sure they possessed that also, that quality also. When it says they did not have the Shem Havaya, it means it was not recognizable. Why? Because from their vantage point, to affect the realization of Matan Torah, it's enough to have Bris Milah, because after all, there is no difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim the way they see it. So the fact that do a mitzvah may just be the mitzvah of Milah, which is in a limb of Avraham Avinu, and it's not Targiyag mitzvahs, which have the ability to affect the whole world. It's just one minute, specific mitzvah on one limb, and on a limb of who? Of Avraham Avinu. So being, however, that it is a mitzvah being performed in Kashmir's from the perspective of the others, where there is no difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim, to begin with, that would be sufficient to bring out the effect, to have the Matan Torah effect of affecting the Metzias HaGashmi. But, of course, from our perspective, which we find on ourselves, in a situation where we see a drastic difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim, the two opposites completely. So, that what the others did, they affected one limb, that doesn't, and from our perspective, doesn't carry in itself the capacity of Matan Torah. It is only after Matan Torah itself, which Matan Torah affected the whole world, the Koilus and Brokim, were heard from the Dalet Ruchos HaOlam. And then we were given the mitzvahs with which we can affect every single aspect of the world. Ah, that is something can actually bridge the gap together between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim from our perspective. So to bring this together, from the perspective of the others, from which there is no difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim to begin with, the accomplishment of Matan Torah to affect the Tachtonim is realized with the mitzvah of Milah, which is in a Gashmistic limb. That is it. The fact that later on they were given, even were given by Matan Torah, Taryag mitzvahs. Oh, that is just an addition in quantity. Yes, the effect of Matan Torah is right there, up front. The effect of Matan Torah, or better said, was not necessary to begin with, because there was never a difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim. However, in order to express the reality of the truth, how there is no difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim in the Gashmistik HaMetzius, it should be actually expressed in mitzvahs. So, yes, it was expressed in the mitzvah of Milah, in some form. And the Matan Torah, the Chiddush Matan Torah, was just an increase in the quantity of mitzvahs in which this aspect of above Matan Torah expressed itself. That is from the perspective of the others. From the perspective of the Bonim, who find themselves in the area where there is an absolute difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim, what is the Chiddush of Matan Torah? The others didn't really affect the Tachtonim at all. It was whatever they did had some association which would ultimately lead to Matan Torah, which would bridge a gap between Elyonim and Tachtonim. But where is the actual gap? Bridging of the gap between Elyonim and Tachtonim, where is that realized? Of course, in Matan Torah and all the mitzvahs that were given then after Matan Torah. Now, going into Ois Vav, the Rebbe explains, the ultimate purpose of the Avodah is that the Yidden who are in the Tachtonim, and from their perspective, there is definitely a difference between the Elyonim and Tachtonim. They're two opposites. They should bring into their realm, in which there is a difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim, they should bring the perspective of the others, from which there is no difference between the Elyonim and Tachtonim. And how do they do that? Do they do that? Through the keep the Torah mitzvahs, which were given after Matan Torah. However, let us understand over here. Usually, when we say that we're going to do the mitzvahs we were given the mitzvahs of by Matan Torah in order to be mechaber the Elyonim and Tachtonim. So how do we usually understand it? We usually understand it as Elyonim and Tachtonim, the two opposites. And the only way we can bridge these two opposites and bring them together is through performing Torah and mitzvahs. So what do we have over here? We have the Elyonim and we have the Tachtonim, the two opposites. And then we have the Koach of the Torah, which is going to bring these two opposites together. So, starting out from the very beginning, there's a whole process over here. It starts from the Tachtonim. We are in the Tachtonim. That's where we are, Klal Yisrael. We're in the Tachtonim. Our goal is to reach Elyonim, come in complete contact with Elyonim. How are we going to do that? We're going to start growing and increasing in our doing Torah mitzvahs. We're going to go higher from level to level until we make complete contact with Elyonim. So it's a process starting from the Tachtonim and slowly growing, coming bigger and bigger, going higher and higher until through the Kimah Torah mitzvahs and coming in contact with Elyonim. This is the way it would be usually understood. However, in this sicha, where the Rebbe is explaining how we come to identify with the source of the Ovis, the Koyach of the Ovis, which is the Koyach behind the Torah, the Machshavton Shal Yisrael Shal Kodma L'chol Dova, that gives the ability to the Torah to bring together the two opposites of Elyonim and Tachtonim. Why? Because mitzad the Koyach of the Ovis, the source of the Torah, there is no difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim to begin with, and that is why the Torah has the ability to bring these two opposites together. And this is what we're identifying, this is what we're learning about in this sicha. The void of Matan Torah is that we, as said, should bring the perspective of the others into our realm, as we find ourselves in the realm where there is a difference between Tachtonim and Elyonim. Also in that realm of the Tachtonim, where there's a difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim, we should bring the perspective of the others, how there is no difference to begin with between Elyonim and Tachtonim. So based on this thinking, it is not just a matter of growth, of growing from one level to the next level. It's a matter of complete transformation in our perspective about ourselves. Because from the perspective of the others, there is no difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim to begin with. And therefore, the Dira B'Tachtonim was accomplished, ready, there and there. In that time, there was never a difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim. The purpose of Dira B'Tachtonim, however, is that this Dira B'Tachtonim that the others realized in their bris milah that they did, in that what they did, should be also realized in our area, in the area of Klal Yisrael, who find themselves in a situation where there is an absolute difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim. In that area should also be realized that what the others see, how there is no difference. It should be realized in the area of Klal Yisrael, in which there does exist this absolute difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim. That is the purpose. So only way this purpose can be realized is, of course, by Klal Yisrael, who find themselves in this area where there is an absolute difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim, they should come to realize the truth the way it is by the others. It's only by them coming to realize it will this purpose of Dibur Tachtonim be accomplished. When Klal Yisrael will find themselves in the realm where there is an absolute difference, they will come to realize that what the others see, with that they will be the complete Dibur Tachtonim. However, from the perspective of Klal Yisrael, the perspective of the others is something which negates the very metzias, because from the perspective of Klal Yisrael, there's an absolute difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim. And the most they can do is they can grow and exceed and associate themselves with Elyonim, to come in complete contact with Elyonim. But to come to realize that what the others see, how there is no difference to begin with between Elyonim and Tachtonim, that is, not only growing and increasing, etc., this is actually changing our perspective about ourselves and coming to realize that that what we see about ourselves as being something distant and different from the Elyonim is from begin to begin with not really so, and from the beginning with there is no difference. So here, in order that we should introduce into our area the perspective of the others, we're going to have to change our perspective about ourselves. Despite the fact, and the only way we're going to be able to fill this accomplishment of making, of bringing the perspective of the others is in our area, is by being in the area where there is a difference between the Elyonim and Tachtonim. And therefore, the only way this can be accomplished is, as he explains in the Sikha here in Oisvav, that the Tachtonim, the Klal Yisrael, when they're in the realm where there is a difference between Elyonim and the Tachtonim, should have an awareness. Yes, we are in an area with an absolute difference between Elyonim and Tachtonim. We should have an awareness that from the others' perspective, there is no difference to begin with. And when we have this perspective of the others, we have this awareness that from the others' perspective, there is no difference. As we do our avodah of Dibur Tachtonim through the Torah mitzvahs of Matan Torah, we will come to eventually realize in our area that with the others had always known how really, in essence, there is no difference between the Elyonim and Tachtonim. The only way we can come to realize that is while we are now in the area and arena where there is an absolute difference, we should have an awareness of that, of the perspective of the others. Now the question arises, why is it so important that we should come to realize the perspective of the others? Why is it not sufficient that we should do the avodah of Matan Torah as we always know it, that we should be mechaber the Elyonim and Tachtonim, bring together the Elyonim and Tachtonim through performing Torah mitzvahs? Why do we have to engage also the perspective of the others, come to realize how from their perspective to begin with there's no difference between the Elyonim and Tachtonim? Why do we have to involve ourselves with with such a difficult, complicated perspective to understand how it is from the perspective of the office. Why is it so important? See, here the Rebbe continues in Oiz Zayin and explains us the accomplishment of Matan Torah, bringing the Galyanim and Tachtonim, that is all performed through Zman HaGolus. However, there's still something missing, and that we should see the revealed effect of Matan Torah. That means, after we've done all the avodah of Zman HaGolus, and we've been brought together, we've brought together the Yenim and Tachtonim, that everything that had to be accomplished through the avodah of Zman HaGolus has completely been accomplished. Then Tachtonim and Yenim have come together. And nevertheless, we're still missing the Geula, which is the revealed revelation, how the Elyonim and Tachtonim are together. We should be able to actually see it. At this point, when we're missing, we should be able to see Begoli, how there is no difference between the Elyonim and Tachtonim. For that, we have to introduce the perspective of the office. Because at this point, where the Elyonim and Tachtonim, we have the complete Hamshocha, the Elyonim and Tachtonim are complete, they come together. It's only missing that we should be able to see it. That what is interfering is over here, what's interfering in our realization of what has already been accomplished, is our mysterious, as we know ourselves, in the fact that we still consider ourselves as being distinct from the Elyonim. Our very mysterious, that existed all along, that we are a Metzius of Elyonim Tachtonim, and we have to grow and come to in contact with the Elyonim. It is that Metzius of ours where we assume that we are something separate from the Elyonim that is interfering now with our ability to realize how the Elyonim and Tachtonim are not really separate anymore. And therefore, in order for us to come to realize how there is actually no difference anymore between the Elyonim and Tachtonim, we're going to have to change our perspective about ourselves and come to realize that what the others knew, how there, in essence, there is no difference between the Elyonim and Tachtonim. And by engaging this perspective of the others, we come to realize how the Tachtonim and Elyonim have already to come together, and the only thing missing, what was missing till now, in realizing that, it was the fact that it was we who were not, who considered ourselves as something distinct and separate from the Elyonim.